Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Thank you so much for listening. Our guest today is Luann Whatley-Belk. As the creator of Well Worth Watering, Luann's goal is to empower parents with soulfully curated childbirth education classes and postpartum services that honor each unique birth journey. At the core of Well Worth Watering's mission is the belief that the birthing year offers seeds of self-discovery that bloom for the rest of our parenting lives. She also believes in creating space for the telling and holding of powerful stories, specifically those of Black birthing people, as heard on her podcast. I know you're going to love this episode, and thank you again for listening. Hey, Luann, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And it is just such a gift to have you on the show. This is something I've been thinking about for a long time. And I'm glad that things have aligned, that this is the day that we're having this conversation and that we're recording. And I'm just so happy to share this with the audience that I'm so grateful for, that shows up to listen week after week. And so before we kind of just go into our conversation, I would love to give you the opportunity to just introduce yourself, give a little bit of background about who you are, your family, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Luann, and I am a fellow birth educator, and I am a birthing from within childbirth educator. I'm also a postpartum companion, and that is something that I'm really looking to pour into as we look forward to like closing this year out and moving into the new year. I am also a mother of two, a partner, a friend, a creative. I'm many things. But I think of all of that and what our conversation will center, I am the creator of this platform called Well Worth Watering, right? That offers childbirth education, postpartum support, and really a nourishment to birthing families and birthing parents, particularly Black families, right? Because in so many areas, in so many ways, the stories and experiences that reflect positivity and triumph and transformation, I felt was underrepresented in Black birthing experiences. So that was my goal with that platform. So that's me. That's me in a little bit of a nutshell.
Thank you so much for giving us some insight into your life and who you are. I definitely want to go into talking about Well Worth Watering, what you have built with that, where you are currently today, and then looking towards the future. And I would love to, before we dive into that, talk a little bit more about the term postpartum companion.
Yeah.
Can you talk more about that first?
So that's like a long story, right? So I'll rewind just a little bit. When I set out to shift Well Worth Watering from what it started as, which was a blog about Black maternal health and telling stories, telling my own stories, sharing stories, and really like trying to help shift the narrative away from these, honestly, like doom and gloom, Black families, y'all need to be afraid because y'all are out here dying and they're mistreating you, which while that's a fact, I knew there was more, right? So essentially that was like the heart of how Well Worth Ordering started. It grew into, well, what can I do with my two hands and heart to change the outcomes that I'm seeing around me? And for me, that was becoming a birth educator and also a postpartum, I thought, doula. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to do all the things and like certify and all of the things. And the path that I walked, which Amanda has walked as well, in certifying to become a birth educator, I learned a lot about myself. And I became aware of all of the knowledge and all of the value that my lived experiences of being a mom of two, of walking that postpartum path myself, of all of like what that meant. And so while I still like seek to certify someday, I didn't want to hold myself back from offering that service and helping families and going in and saying like, I've been on the path you are. I can recognize what you're needing in this moment. And it's more than just a casserole, right? It's more than just me, like, you know, dropping off industrial size pad. Like, it's so much more. And I know that. And I began to value that in a way that I hadn't before. And I was like, you know what? Start now. Speak it out loud. Sort of build your own special basket that you're going to bring to families. And so then I thought, well, essentially that's what a lot of postpartum doulas are doing, and a lot of them are, you know, mothers and parents, and they've walked that path. But I started thinking and asking around, like, well, does that mean something, that term postpartum doula, does it really like hit home for a lot of new families the way that like another term would? So there are a lot of midwives, like Black midwives, who have been doing this work for far longer than you and I have been alive.
Oh yeah,
that have been doing postpartum doulaing, not under that term. Like, they just do the work from their heart and from what they know. And so a lot of them, like, you know, call it something else, or just they don't even like think about putting a term on it per se. They're just doing the work. So I was like, I think I'm gonna move forward with this, offer it as a postpartum companion, because that's really what it is, right? You're a companion to somebody in their postpartum healing phase. I felt like that might resonate with families a little bit quicker and offer a little bit more like comfort there, even though, you know, the term doula is like so out there now. I feel like a lot of people, like, they're aware at least. But long story short, like, I didn't want to hold myself back, and also like not misrepresent myself. Like, I'm not certified as a postpartum doula,
yeah,
but I can also be your companion in your postpartum healing phase. So
yeah, I think there's so many good things that you just mentioned there, but I specifically want to go to what you just talked about. I didn't want to hold myself back because I am not ready to seek a certification. I am ready to do the work. I'm ready to serve people. I'm just not there in this season of life to get to do this X number of hours of study, X number of hours of training, X number of hours of somebody reviewing my training materials, right? Like, there's value in that. And like you said, there's value in doing the work. And I love that you differentiated between misrepresenting yourself. And so you took a term that resonated with you and people around you that you want to serve. Like, you asked, like, what do these words mean to you? And that you just didn't say like, well,
I can't get certified, or I'm not ready to get certified right now. And so I'm just going to like forge ahead and, you know, what is this certification anyways? And kind of pick it apart that way. But instead you just honored like that there is value for that. And then that's not aligning with your current time frame. I just think that's so important, especially in this work that we do, because there's a lot of maybe misunderstanding, maybe a little bit of misinformation. And then there's a little bit of arguing, like infighting too, which you know about, and parents don't always know about that, which they shouldn't, right? Like they just, we just want to surround them and love on them and support them.
Yeah. They're not here for the mess.
They're not here for the mess, and they shouldn't be. And we should be able to clean up our own mess. And so I'm glad that we're talking about this. And so just to like talk about it, like what do I mean by the mess? When I say the mess, I mean I'll read in comment section on content that I put online or in podcasts that I put out about mom groups on Facebook. And someone saying, hey, my baby's doing this thing with this eating related problem. And then these moms jump in with their best advice. And that's what that is. And then there are professionals who have training and expertise in this that could also provide, an opinion about it. And I think both are valid. And I think also both have pros and cons to them. And so, when you have moms trying to help each other, they might not be giving advice from the perspective of a trained professional who is going to be thinking about the context of the entire situation. They're going to be taking medical implications into effect and then like ethics and morals and all of that stuff, right? But then you have the professional giving advice, and that can create a hierarchy, right? And so like that's what I'm talking about with the mess. I'm not talking about it's a messy, like icky situation. I'm talking about it's complicated. We want to help. We want to get help ourselves. We want to be helped, and we want to offer help to each other because that's what we're designed to do as humans. We are designed for connection, and we truly do want to help each other and be helped and be there for each other, but it can get messy and it can get complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even like if you take the term the mess internally, the way I interpret that internally is the judge, the I'm an imposter, if you don't have time and resources to do this, you just shouldn't do it, the self-doubt. That's the mess for me. The mess in our minds, the things that we tell ourselves that devalue what we are and what we can do. That's the mess for me. So those are the things that I have to contend with that I don't necessarily want, because I'm human, right? Like I don't want a family to see me battling those things. I want to come in as a whole, confident, loving, warm space for them. And I am that too. But I also have these other things I'm battling, right? I love that you lay that out because it's not mess in a gossipy sense. It's complex. It's complex. That's probably a better term for that.
I love that so much. That is exactly my experience too. The mess in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, and we all can, I think we all can relate to that. I can relate to that.
So it's interesting. We're having this conversation. The place where my mind is going right now, as I brought up like self-doubt, one of the things that I contend with often is the idea that there's me as the mother, there's Luann as the mother, there's Luann as the creative, there's Luann as, the partner and wife, there's the daughter to, aging parent in a different city, there's all of these beings, and also there's Luann, the birth educator, Luann, the postpartum companion and podcaster. Like, it feels like so much. And I contend with this desire to like show up in all of those roles equally, knowing Like, my logical brain knows, like, that ain't going to work. It's not going to work daily, weekly. Like, it's just not. Contending with the idea that it's okay. So there's the big context for that, right? But my mind, in the context of this conversation, goes to what does it feel like to really desire and be passionate about something, and also feel like, do you have a, is there enough available of yourself to give to it?
Oh, yes.
Right? And that's one of the things that showed up for me with, you know, well, should I be a postpartum companion? Like, should I even offer that? You know, I know families need it. I know that at the end of the day, a new parent, a new mom wants someone coming into that space that is going to affirm them, validate them, help them with practical things, right? Offer them a warm meal, listen to them. I'm equipped with all of that. Like, I know that in my heart. And then there goes my brain again and the judge again being like, do you have enough of yourself to give to that? And I'm being vulnerable about that and open about that in a way that I hope invites listeners to do the same in their own life, to admit, you know, I have these kind of like warring ideas, and to sit with it before like making any definitive decisions about anything. It's just like sit in the discomfort of that feeling. I'm learning to do that. I'm learning to sit with that. Yeah. So I wanted to say that, because that's what was on my heart at the moment as we were talking about the certification and companion thing. And
I'm so glad that you brought up this topic and that you are saying it this way. And thank you so much for being vulnerable in sharing where you are. So everyone that comes across me most likely knows that my favorite grown-up is Brené Brown. And it has been a minute since I brought her up in the podcast, I think. But this is totally relevant to what you just said, because I've read most of her books, but not Dare to Lead. I've had Dare to Lead on my bookshelf for years. And there has been something that's been holding me back, and it's my trauma that I'm trying to get over from working in corporate America. And I know now that this is the time I need to work through that to get unstuck where I am professionally. Like, I'm hearing the call now. And so now I'm listening to it. I'm listening to Dare to Lead, and it is the moment that I'm supposed to listen to it. I always find some excuse to bring up Brené, but this is really relevant to what you're talking about. So I started reading Dare to Lead, and where I am in the book right now, she talks about this term, the rumble. And I think that is exactly what you are talking about. When you were talking, I kept hearing that, or seeing the term, the rumble, pop up in my head. And it's, and in the context of Dare to Lead, she talks about basically having tough conversations in, you know, in leadership of organizations, like that you have to rumble with the complicated stuff. It's not easy, but we must discuss it. And so to me, there is a rumble. Like, there's a, it's so meta. There was a rumble leading me to read Dare to Lead, to learn about the rumble. And now I'm learning about it. And then, like, exactly what you just said and what we are talking about is the rumble to me. It is, I'm so passionate about this thing, and it's so important to me that I am not willing to half-ass it. I am not willing to accept anything except 100%, or like what that thing deserves, whether that be a person, a family, a, you know, a movement. I'm not willing for whatever that thing is that I love so much for the work to be done below this standard that I know is going to serve the people or, you know, whatever it's about. That's what it is for me. That's the discussion. And when I invite self-compassion into that rumble discussion in my head internally, that's what ends up happening is like, I really want to do this thing, but I don't know if I have the bandwidth to do it. And so do I just do it anyways because I love it? Or do I, like, a little bit heartbroken, find somebody else and walk away, and or don't engage as much as I would like because I cannot, knowing myself, give to the level that is required?
Yes. Yeah. I think what's forefront in my mind is I'm on a podcast platform. I have a podcast. I've had one for about, I think going on 2 years at this point. Yeah, because October will be the second year anniversary of the Well Worth Ordering podcast.
Congratulations.
I started the podcast originally as an extension of what was a blog. Like, Well Worth Ordering was a blog. The tagline was steeped in Black maternal health stories. And then I decided to move it to a podcast, and it's since grown into a platform that really offers, similar to yours, like a lot of birth education, tips, still do interviews, but more from the perspective of other birth workers or folks that are pouring into Black families in some capacity. And a lot of things come up, as I'm sure you know, when you're running a podcast. There's times where you're uninspired. There are times where you're just burnt out from doing life. And you don't come to this passion, this platform you created with as much zest as you once did. But that's life. Like, I don't think it's possible to always be like juicy for everything all the time. But I'm sitting with that and thinking about the future of the podcast and where it's gonna go and ways to possibly reinvent it. And I'm being okay with that in between. And really, Amanda, like, for me, what's coming up largely is admitting to myself, like, I still am very much tied to the outcome of a thing.
Oh.
What is the outcome of this thing? Not look at how much you did and how much you grew and this, you know, piece of yourself that you put on audio format and how wonderful that is. And the fact that what started as a blog and grew into a podcast and now is a birth and postpartum support, you know, burgeoning business, you know, allowed my own mother to see me, to see that part of me and to say, wow, like, I never noticed this part of you. And I'm sharing that at risk of getting emotional because that's a big trigger for me, right? This feeling of my parents were too busy as hardworking Black immigrants to see me. I mean, really see me. And so I'm so focused on, like, what's the outcome? And not necessarily, like, listeners, right? But, like, I don't know. I don't know what expectation I'm even putting on myself. But I'm so focused on that and not all of the gifts and jewels that were able to come out of it. And besides, you know, I guess getting that feeling that you always wanted as a little girl, like, from your parent, feeling it from myself, like listening to myself and all of the interviews and things and times where I was like scared out of my mind to just like get on there by myself. I don't know why, like I was so scared of that, like, oh, nobody wants to just hear me.
Oh my gosh, I can relate to that.
To get right, but that's what I'm saying, like, but to get over that fear, do it, hear yourself and be like, this is actually dope.
Yes.
To the feeling of like validating your damn self.
Ugh.
Is a massive trigger for me.
I didn't know I was allowed to do that.
Right.
Like.
Right.
And it makes me sad when I think about that too, because there's so many times when that would have been really helpful. And there's so many times recently when it has been helpful.
Because we are taught to always seek it outside of ourselves.
Yes.
And as children, I think that's a natural thing. That's how we survive. We come out of the womb, we cry, we get a response, we attach to our parent. Like, it's how we survive and bond. But at some point, because I'm actively thinking about this with my kids, at some point, we have to fertilize their ability to do it for themselves.
Yes.
Because they're always, because, and I think, you know, everybody's different. Everybody comes into the world different with their own little personal curriculum. And I always marvel at my husband's ability. Like, he really does not, I mean, it's nice. He likes when I validate him, but he's never been that person. And we're so different in that way, you know, but that's how some of us need it more than others. I'll say that. But society at large, we are taught to get it outside of ourselves. Somebody yes. else like me, somebody else validate me, share me, talk about me.
Yes. And for me, the most important part of the self-validation was not with rewards. It was how hard I had it. I wanted validation about how hard I had it. I wanted somebody to just say, like, that was so hard. I can't believe you lived through that and you got through it. That's what I wanted more than anything else, more than validation of, like, you did a good job. Like, I wanted that. And that was so corrosive to so many relationships. And that absolutely plays into how I show up in the world and into birth work as a parent, anti-racist work, everything that I do. When I was able to validate, when I learned how to validate myself of, like, yeah, you went through a hard thing. Game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. You were looking for somebody to validate the walk. Not necessarily like, oh, you made it there, like, to validate, you know what, I saw you at the quarter mile and you were struggling, but you drank that Gatorade and you got back up.
That is exactly
it. You did that. Yeah, yeah, I hear
you. The walk.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
So many of us seek that validation outside of ourselves for different things. Like, you acknowledge, like, I just want somebody to acknowledge, like, how hard the thing was, not that I got through it. Not the outcome, like, or the thing I produced, to just acknowledge that I was working hard, or that I was trying, or that, you know, I had all of these things coming at me and I was able to battle them. We all have different things. I think my thing is, like, more outcome, and that, like, I had the chops to do said thing, you know, or that I'm talented, or that, you know, I'm always questioning, well, am I creative? And every time I use that term for myself, like, I feel a little discomfort, because it's like, well, what does that even mean? I told myself, I think at a very young age, that creative means that you can literally create anything. Like, I can create a song and a painting. Like, I don't know where that comes from. It's odd. I don't know. But yeah, we all have different desires, and the best source is going to be ourselves. And that goes for anyone in any walk of life, but I think it's so applicable to the childbearing year.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of folks might say, well, you know, people want to love on me and say how beautiful I am and all those things, and look at my growing belly. And that's true, and that's necessary. I don't want to negate that. Everyone deserves that comfort and the coziness of being in that space of love and affirmation as you have a baby. I don't care if it's your first or your fifth. Everybody deserves that. But when you can do it for yourself, I mean, there's, like, this power that comes from that. I remember for my second pregnancy, I knew I was pregnant at this point, but I had already scheduled this like, portrait shoot for myself. It was, like, professional pictures I was trying to do. And I just remember how confident I was that day. And I was like, I don't know where this is coming from. It was very odd, you know, growing my son, for me, when I look back, felt like it supercharged me in a way. Like sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? Like, where did that come from? And children are a gift, right? But I truly do see the entire birthing year, but pregnancy as a gift, if we look at it that way, because I really believe that somehow this baby was like supercharging me from the inside out to do and say and write. Like I wrote this piece and I was like in a show and like reading the piece on stage and I was like 7 months pregnant and there was no there was no trace of like this criticalness that I typically struggle with there going through those things. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? This gift, right? This opening for me, because a lot of people talk about how when you have a baby, there's an opening that happens in, I mean, literally your sacrum, your pelvis, that whole area is opening. It's not just the cervix. But it's the sacrum is the seat of our creativity, our ability to like bring forth not just life, but ideas and things. And that's what was happening for me. And I didn't even know it. But like doing this work and like getting deeper into, because at that point I wasn't a birth worker at all. I was just having another baby. But looking back, I'm like, oh, so that's what was happening. And I'm so grateful for that knowledge now.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I can relate so much. I did not tie that. I talk about a lot about how I got the idea to start this podcast when I was 7 months pregnant with my baby boy. And I didn't relate the two. And I know that. I know that what you said, like I've talked about that pregnancy can be a birthplace or a rebirth for creativity and tapping into that within yourself. But I just didn't connect that. That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, look, these new like nuggets come up for us, even knowing the behind the scenes of what's happening in the body and the mind and all of those things. But even we can look back and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. And then after he was born, I mean, it happened with my daughter too, right? But I guess it's fresher in my mind because he's the younger. After he was born, he was still an infant is when I decided, okay, I'm going to start this blog and I'm going to call it Well Worth Watering. And he was a water birth baby. And this, for me, I'm still unpacking this connection and affinity to water in general in my life and what that means for me, you know, spiritually and a whole bunch of other things. So there's always these new nuggets coming to us. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful that I can see it, right? That we can see it, recognize it, give thanks for it, and hopefully, you know, use it to be of service to somebody else, to witness to somebody else. Even if we don't, like, because every nugget is not going to be for somebody else eventually, it's just for us. You know, and it's just, it's a very, for me, that's a very sweet spot of this work. It's as much, you know, some of the moments are as much or more so for us than for others. Because I think you were referencing this earlier in the episode. Sometimes there's a desire to always want to like distract from what needs to be healed in us by doing for others. Or like, oh yeah, this can be for somebody else. No. Creator is telling you it's for you. It says Amanda Gorman. Not Bynes, nobody, you.
Yep.
So receive it.
I love that so much. That's why I love our birth workers teas, because we can just come and talk about the things, and we can talk about things related to birth, and it almost always comes back to what we are internally rumbling with. What's going on in our businesses. And that comes from a place of creativity and from a place of like giving life and investing and giving of ourselves. And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to be a part of. And thank you so much for being part of this circle with me. And thank you so much for having this conversation with me today too.
Absolutely. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely. And would you please mind letting listeners know where they can find you right now?
Sure. So if you are wanting to know more about me and my platform, you can go to Well Worth Watering. So that's W-E-L-L, Worth, W-O-R-T-H. It's very long. Watering. Watering with the ing at the end. So I'll make sure that that is in the show notes. And then you can also find me at Well Worth Watering, same handle on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today. Again, I really, really loved our conversation. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.